Welcome to Theory of Pets. I'm a passionate pet owner with a drive to help others like me uncover the truth about the pet industry and what goes on behind the scenes. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Theory of Pets. I have put this podcast together to share my passion about pets with other pet parents and pet lovers, and as well as experts in the pet industry. I am a longtime pet owner who's been working with animals and writing about animals, researching and teaching others for many years now. I've spent the last few years focusing on dogs, and that's really spurred me to jump into the pet community, especially the dog community. I feel like we are such a tight-knit group everywhere you go. Even if you go somewhere and you don't know anybody, you're bound to find somebody else who's a dog owner or dog lover. And all it takes is one shared photo or one silly story about your pet at home to bring people together, no matter where you are, from sitting in the park to waiting for a bus or riding on an airplane. So I really wanted to jump into the community and bring this podcast. I feel like one of the things that we're missing as a community is an inside look at the pet industry. There are so many things that have been coming to light now for a number of years, between toxins and chemicals in the food that we're feeding our dogs to unsafe dog products. I feel like there isn't another outlet where that curtain is being yanked off the pet industry, and we're getting to see that behind-the-scenes information and getting to understand what's really going on with the manufacturing of these products. So that's what my goal is with this podcast. I want to share my own information, my own personal experience, some of the things that I've learned through my research and my studies over the last few years. And I want to speak with people in the pet industry as well to talk about some of those things that happen behind the scenes, the dangers, the things that we should be looking for and be wary of as pet owners. Again, I've spent the last few years really focused on dogs, so I think that this podcast kind of will jump off focusing on dogs, but it's certainly going to reach out and touch on many different animals as we go along. So I really encourage any pet owner, pet lover, animal lover in general. I don't care if you have a story about elephants or lions or giraffes. I would love to hear from anybody who is an animal lover or an animal owner. I am excited to reach out and make some connections with all kinds of folks from all walks of life, all over the world, all different types of pet owners and pet lovers. So that's kind of the goal here. And in order to reach as many people as possible, obviously I need to grow my podcast. So one of the things that I am asking all of my listeners to do, if you could just take a quick second, if you enjoy this podcast, if you enjoyed last week's, if you are going to be following me, please leave a review for me on iTunes. That's the best way for me to grow this podcast as quickly as possible. The more good reviews that I get, the more people see them, the more people are interested in the podcast. And pretty soon I will have a large fan base, which will open a lot more doors for me to get access to different areas of the pet industry. So I hope you caught last week's podcast. That was about responsible breeding. We have a boxer named Chloe who is a product of irresponsible breeding, and we have now been dealing with the repercussions of that for years. And we're not the only ones. There are many dogs that come from irresponsible breeding facilities, whether they're puppy mills or just backyard breeders that don't do it the proper way. So I discussed that a lot last week. I talked a little bit about things that you should be looking for if you are a potential pet parent and you're thinking about adopting. So I gave some pointers on different things to look for when you're looking for a breeder or a breeding facility. And this week, I kind of want to jump a little bit deeper into it and talk about adopting a dog that fits your lifestyle. All too often, I have family, friends, I know people, readers of my site, and people who I come across in the pet industry when we're talking. So many people say, you know, either I have this dog and they're more than I expected, or I have this dog and, you know, you're really hoping to get a lot more out of the relationship. We know many, many people who have gotten dogs that don't fit their lifestyle and the dogs needed to be rehomed or taken back to the shelter or rescue organization that it came from, which is heartbreaking to me. I always feel really bad when somebody adopts a dog and welcomes them into their home and the dog finally has this loving forever family, and then it ends up turning around and having to go back to the shelter or rescue organization it came from. In the long run, it is certainly what's best for the dog, and I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying that that should not be done. If a dog does not fit your lifestyle, absolutely. Rehoming or returning the dog, if you have that option, is going to be the best choice in the long run for both you and the dog. But the best thing that you can do so that that doesn't happen and you never have to go through that and a dog never has to go through that is to do a little bit of research, spend some time thinking about it. If you wake up on a Saturday morning and decide that you think that your family should have a dog and your family's ready to adopt a dog, don't go out Sunday afternoon and adopt a dog. Take time, think about it. This is a decision that really needs to involve every person living in your house, from children to adults, anybody with any type of special needs, whether you might have an older person living in your home who has a bit of a hard time walking and maybe an active dog that's going to be running around, underfoot is not going to be a good fit. You need to think about every aspect of your home, your lifestyle, your family. So I want to discuss that today. And certainly, again, I welcome comments from you guys or questions. If there's anybody out there listening who might happen to be work for a rescue or a shelter or an organization that places dogs with families and is really an expert in this area, I would love to hear from you as well and maybe get the chance to have you on a future podcast. So I encourage feedback, absolutely. And I want this podcast to be my hope for Theory of Pets is that it's going to grow into not just a podcast for me talking to all of you, but into a community of pet owners and pet lovers who really want to come together to help each other care for their pets in the best way possible. So if you have any stories, if you have any comments, like I said, questions, you can find us at theoryofpets.com. And there is a section there to record your questions and your comments. There's also a comment section where you can type that information out if you're not comfortable with recording it, which is totally fine. Either way, if you get back to me, I'm very, very happy to include that in my future podcast, as well as help you one-on-one and get you the information that you're looking for if it's not answered in this podcast. So I'm going to move along and just talk a little bit about the environment that you live in. That's a big part of adopting a dog that a lot of people, I think, don't take into consideration. Most people think that they want a certain breed. They want a dog that looks a certain way. We have to get this one. He's so cute. But they don't take the time to think about what really matters in the long term. Are you going to have a cute dog that everybody at the dog park is just drooling over? Sure, that's great. It's nice to have a dog that looks unique, that has a unique coat or a unique face that draws people's attention. Absolutely, I can understand why some people would go for that. But in the long run, that's not what's going to matter for you, and it's not what's going to matter for your dog. So you need to think about those long-term things that are really going to affect how you care for this dog in the future and how the dog fits into your home. Because not only do you want to be happy with the dog that you choose, but you want the dog that you choose to be happy in your home as well. So one of the important things to think of first off is the size of the dog that you want. And when you're thinking about this, maybe you just have a personal preference of a small or a large dog, and that can certainly come into play as well. But you also want to think about the environment that you live in and the size of the dog that you can accommodate. If you live in a small one-room apartment, a Great Dane is probably not going to be a good choice for you. If you have a home, for example, we live out in the country. We have a large home with 9 acres of land, so we have plenty of space. A Great Dane would certainly be fine for a home like ours if we wanted a dog that size. Now, when you're thinking about size, obviously the smaller a dog is, the less food they're going to eat, the less grooming they're going to need, the easier it's going to be to care for a smaller dog. It's going to be easier to travel with a smaller dog. So these are things to think about. I know a lot of people, the Great Danes, the Bull Mastiffs, the St. Bernards, get a lot of attention for their size. People think that they're great, they're really cool, and they want a dog that size. But you need to think about the long term of it, where, you know, if you have a Great Dane or you have a St. Bernard, you're going to have a very hard time traveling with a dog that size. If you're somebody that does travel with a dog, think about a St. Bernard's coat, all of that hair. And you're not just a little small dog with a big shaggy coat. You're talking about a huge, massive dog with a big shaggy coat. It's probably a dog that you're not going to be able to bathe in your bathtub at home. You're going to have to bathe that dog outside. It's going to be a lot of extra work and additional things go into that. So think about the size of the dog, not only that you want, but that you're capable of caring for, and the size of the dog that's going to fit best with your home environment. So that's one thing to think about. And when you're thinking about this, like I said, think about the type of home that you have. Do you have a single wide trailer that's in a mobile home park and you maybe only have a quarter of an acre of land? Do you live in a small apartment where you don't have any land and you're going to have to walk this dog on a leash, out on the street in your city? Do you have a home like ours? Are you in a more rural setting with a large piece of land where your dog's going to have some more space? Rural versus urban is a big aspect of that will come into play when you're thinking about what type of dog to adopt. And then the other thing you want to take into consideration, which I think falls through the cracks a lot when people are thinking about adopting a dog, is the weather in your region. If you live in a very hot, humid climate, do you want to get a husky? Maybe not the best choice. Again, if you live in, that was one of our dogs, Chloe, adding to the podcast there. So if you live in a climate like we do, we live in Maine here, the winters get very, very cold. A lot of the small breed dogs that live in our neighborhood, we see all bundled up in the wintertime. They're wearing boots, they're wearing sweaters or jackets because it's very cold here. The temperature drops below zero during the day in the winter months sometimes. And, you know, if you have a small dog with a very thin coat or barely any hair at all, think of like a Chinese crested with no, you know, that's all, nearly hairless, that's going to come into play depending on the climate that you live in. If you live in Florida, maybe that's going to be a good choice for you. But if you live in Maine, a Chinese crested might get a little chilly in the wintertime. Not saying that you can't adopt a dog that's not going to be suited for the weather in your area, but think about how you can accommodate that dog. So for example, if you really want a husky, but you live in a very hot climate, are you going to be able to provide air conditioning? Are you going to be able to help that dog stay cool? Or is your dog going to be outside for long periods during the day? If he is, then you certainly don't want to subject a dog with a big thick fur coat like a husky to the warm, humid climates in your region. So that's something to think about. One of the biggest things that I always tell potential pet owners to think about before adopting is the time that your dog will be spending alone. And this is so huge, I think, especially in today's society where we have most homes are either single person homes and that person works out of the house, or they're two people or more family homes, but everybody needs to work in the economy the way it is now. It's very rare to see people that stay at home anymore. If you do stay at home or you work from home or you have a job where, you know, it's more flexible, that's great. If you have a job where you're gone 8 or 10 hours a day, what are you going to do with this dog? Are you going to kennel your dog? Are you going to be able to, can you afford doggy daycare so your dog can go and play with other dogs while you're at work? That's going to determine, one, in my opinion, whether you should even adopt a dog in the first place, because if you are alone for long hours, if your dog's going to be alone for long hours and you don't have the option to hire a pet sitter or a dog walker or take your dog to doggy daycare, that's probably not the best lifestyle for a dog to begin with. So maybe you should think about waiting until you have a bit of a more flexible schedule and can spend some more time at home with your dog. But if you are able to hire a dog walker or pet sitter, something like that, and your dog's home for long periods of time, that's great. It just will be an added expense that you need to figure in before deciding on which dog to adopt. And then the other thing is, if you're going to be out of the house, for example, I work from home, but our dogs are alone sometimes. Sometimes I go and run errands. My husband is in the military, so he's very rarely home. He's home for a few weeks a year. So it's usually just me when I have to go and run errands, go to a doctor's appointment, run my children around to their sports games and things like that. Our dogs are home by themselves. Usually it's no more than a couple hours at a time. But we do have to plan for what we do during those times when the dogs are alone. And certainly there are some dogs that are more prone to separation anxiety. They're more prone to destructive behaviors. There are dogs that are more people-oriented, that want to have that human companionship more than others. So if your dog's going to be spending a good deal of time alone, maybe it's better to look at some of those breeds that aren't as attached to human companionship as some of the others. The next thing that you want to think about, which kind of goes hand in hand with the time that you have, is the energy level of the dog that you're going to have. Now, if you're adopting a puppy, chances are your dog for at least a couple of years is going to be fairly energetic. Most puppies are. If you adopt an older dog, an adult dog, you know, that kind of comes with the breed. Certain breeds like Labradors are known for having more energy than others, and that's something that you want to take into consideration. So when you're thinking about the time that your dog's going to be spending alone, you also want to think about the time that you have to devote to playing with your dog and to exercising your dog. Now, we have a chocolate lab, Sadie. She is a wonderful, wonderful dog. Before we adopted Sadie, I have been a longtime boxer lover. And we had one boxer in the past that was very high strung. But for the most part, we've had three boxers over the last decade or so that were, they were all female, so that might have made a difference, but they were all very mellow, very laid back. They certainly had that boxer wiggle and got excited to see us, but because I stay home, they get to wander around our yard and they burn some energy, and they're very mellow dogs. So we were used to the mellow dogs. We understood, because we did the research before we adopted Sadie, that Labradors are a high energy dog. So I knew going into it that Sadie was probably going to take more of my time than our boxers had in the past. And that proved itself to be very much true. I spend, and this is not an exaggeration, hours every day playing with Sadie. She's only 1 year old, so we spend a lot of time playing fetch, playing tug of war. We do have another puppy who she wrestles with for hours every day. It's very time consuming when you have a dog who has a lot of energy, because you are the person. If you have a multi-dog household, you may not be the only one that entertains them, but you know, the adults in your household are, for the most part, the people that entertain those hyperactive dogs. So you're going to be playing fetch, you're going to be playing tug, you're going to need to, one, make sure that you have the time to do that and you can devote to that, and that you're committed to devoting to that, because it's not fair to the dog if you don't. And you also need to make sure that you can budget for that stuff. You're going to be buying probably, for example, with Sadie versus our old boxers, I have already in the first year bought Sadie more toys than I bought any of our other boxers in the entire span of their lives. Sadie shreds toys. She destroys toys. We spend a lot of time playing with toys. So we go through a lot of dog toys. That's an expense that needs to be in our budget. So there's that. And then you also want to think about the level of affection of the dog that you are thinking about adopting. As I mentioned previously, with the time that you have and the time that the dog is going to spend alone, there are certain breeds that enjoy being with people more than others. Some breeds are more independent and they don't mind doing their own thing or being alone for a while you're gone to work and things like that. There are some breeds that are very, very attached to people, and they want to be with you all the time, and they want to make sure that they always have human companionship. Now, it may be just that you end up having a sad dog when you're gone from home all the time, or it may be that you have a dog that's going to pick up some bad habits because he's alone and he's angry at you, he's alone and he's bored. So that's something that you really want to take into consideration, is that affection level, how much of a people dog do you want? Do you want a dog that's going to be in your face wanting attention and affection all the time? Or do you want a dog that's going to maybe spend a little bit more time doing his own thing independently? And you also want to think about the grooming maintenance. This is a big, big part of adopting a dog. I hear so many people say that they want a smaller dog with short hair, or they want just a short-haired breed because the grooming is going to be less. Now, while it's true that the grooming is going to be less as far as the coat is concerned, if you have a dog, for example, our boxer with short hair and a single coat, does not require nearly as much maintenance as our double-coated lab who sheds profusely. And you can also get dogs with longer coats that need more maintenance so that they don't get matted and tangled and things like that. So it's definitely, if you get a short-haired dog, it's less maintenance on the coat front. But you want to think about some of those things that are maintenance-based that every dog is going to need. Dental care, you're going to need to be brushing your dog's teeth and caring for his oral hygiene, ear cleaning. Some dogs are prone to tear stains and they need to have their face groomed to be rid of those tear stains. Some dogs, there is a difference many people don't realize between hair and fur. Some dogs have fur, and what that means, the difference between fur and hair. Fur stops growing at a certain length. So, for example, our boxer, she's short-haired. Her hair grows to about an inch long, and then it stops growing. It falls out. New fur grows in its place. Some dogs have hair, and hair, like our hair, continues to grow. So these dogs are going to need hair cuts. Some dogs have facial hair that continues to grow that they need. Schnauzers come to mind, that they need their faces trimmed, or they get these big saggy eyebrows that are in their face, and they have the beards that get tangled and yucky with dog food and water and that kind of stuff. So there's nail trimming, and there's lots of different things as far as grooming is concerned that aren't necessarily coat related, and it's things that you're going to need to think about. Are you prepared for that? Is it something that you're prepared to do at home? I have figured out that doing the home grooming for all three of our dogs and doing it all myself, I clip their nails, I clean their ears. I've spent some time learning how to maintain their coats. It's taken some consultations with groomers and some talks with my veterinarian. I've watched some videos online and done a lot of research, but I do all their grooming myself, and it saves us hundreds of dollars a year. But it's also time consuming. So do you have the time to groom your dog at home, or are you going to need to take your dog to a professional groomer? If you need to take your dog to a professional groomer, is that money in your budget? And it wouldn't hurt before you bring the dog home. Think about the breed that you're going to get, the grooming that it's going to take. Go have a conversation with your local breeder. If it's going to cost $40 or $50 every time you bring your dog to the groomer and you have to bring him to the groomer once a month, $50 a month is $600 a year. Do you have that extra $600 a year in your budget for just that dog grooming expense? There's still going to be shampoo and dog brushes and things that you're going to need at your home to care for your pet in between those grooming sessions. So think about those expenses and base your choice on that as well, the level of maintenance that you can either perform on your own or afford to have done. Like I said, with our boxer Chloe, she has a single coat. It's short hair. She does require some grooming during shedding seasons. And of course, that regular grooming that all dogs need between the ear cleaning and the nail trimming and that kind of stuff. But as far as grooming goes, she's a very low maintenance dog to groom. If you want a golden retriever, they have that nice, long, beautiful coat that people are often in awe of, but it takes a lot of maintenance for that. If you don't brush your dog regularly with the proper brushes and use the proper tools, your dog's going to end up matted and tangled. You're going to have to cut their fur. It's really something that needs to take a lot of consideration. Just because a dog is adorable and you like the way that it looks, some of those dogs have that unique look because they're groomed to have that unique look, and that's something that you'll have to consider. The other thing you want to think about, and I touched on this briefly before, is the other pets, family members, and people in your home? Do you have a home where people come in and out? Do you own an in-home daycare or some kind of in-home business where people are coming and going from your home every day, you know, or if you're a contractor, do you have clients that come to your house for meetings and things like that? So are there other people that are coming in and out of your house? Are there people in your home with special needs? Like I mentioned, if there's somebody elderly living in your home, you know, are you going to be able to have a dog that's kind of running around and everywhere? Small children, same kind of things to consider. And, you know, other family members, this needs to be a decision that your family is, everybody's on the same page with. So are other family members going to participate in helping with the dog? Is it something that other family members want? If you have a family member in your home that isn't keen on having a dog, this might be something that you want to take a little bit of time and think about and maybe do it a different time when that person isn't in the home anymore. You really, everybody needs to be on the same page when it comes to adopting a dog. So that's something to consider, as well as the other pets in your home. Do you have a cat that doesn't want any other animals in your home? Do you have a dog who really is more independent and likes to spend time on their own? One thing that comes to mind for me is older pets. A lot of people think that when their dog becomes older and they now have a senior dog and they know that their time with this dog is running short, they think that they want to adopt a new puppy. It's going to make the transition, you know, when the older dog's gone, and it's going to be easier for the puppy to learn from the older dog how to behave. And there's all these reasons I hear from people who have senior dogs and think that getting a puppy is going to be a benefit to them. But how does your dog feel about that? And you know your dog better than anybody. If you've had a dog in your home for 8 or 10 years, you know that dog well. You know, is that dog older but still has some spunk and still likes to play a little bit? Do you have an older dog that's very nurturing? Maybe it's a dog that's had puppies in the past that's very nurturing and caring and you think would do very well with a puppy. Think about a puppy. Think about the jumping and the chewing. Oh my gosh, our little beagle puppy. Sometimes our chocolate lab even will get burnt out and she's taking a nap, or our older boxer, she's 6 and she'll be sleeping and our puppy is just climbing over the top of her and chewing on her ears and biting her tail. And so these are the things that you want to make sure that other pets in your home are going to be able to deal with another dog. Maybe you have a cat that, you know, you don't think a puppy that's pouncing it and chasing after it and things would go over well. But if you adopted a more mellow adult dog, that would be something that would be all right with your cat, or you know, an older dog. Maybe you have a senior dog who wouldn't be able to deal with a puppy, but if you adopted an adult dog that was more mellow, you think he would be okay with that. It's things to consider. Your dogs, the animals that you have already, are part of your family, and they need to be comfortable with this decision, just like all the other human members of your family. So keep your pets in mind, any other members of your family, and anybody with any special needs like children or elderly family members that might be in your home. Along with this comes protective. How protective do you want the dog to be? You know, if you have small children, do you want a dog that's going to be extremely protective of your home, that nobody is going to get in there? Do you want a dog that's going to be more of a family dog, that's a lot more mellow and easygoing and laid back, but maybe not the best protector? So that's something to think about and something to be very, very cautious of. Whether you're adopting a puppy from a breed that's known to be more protective, or whether you're adopting an older dog and the shelter says, you know, he's a very good dog, but he is very protective once he gets you know, used to you and your family, and you become part of his pack, he becomes very protective. So that's something that you need to take extremely seriously, and something that you really need to put some thought into. Trainability is another thing that you want to think about as well. Do you want a dog, for example, a border collie, very, very intelligent breed that can be trained to do very, very many, a large number of things, from household tasks just something maybe you don't necessarily want a dog that can turn the lights on and off, but do you want a dog that can be trained to do household tasks like that, bring you in the newspaper, get your slippers, that kind of stuff? Or do you want a dog that wants to be, you want to train it to be an agility dog, a dock jumping dog, a hunting dog? Think about the train ability that you want. Our dogs are well trained. The one thing that's big for me and for our family is behavior training. All of our dogs go through behavior training, and the puppies we're still working on because it's a process. But we want dogs that are going to not jump. We have kids in our home, so there cannot be any jumping. Again, we have kids in our home, so there's certain times where people are sleeping or we need things to be quiet. We don't want a dog that's barking all the time unnecessarily. Our dogs need to be well behaved on a leash. Our dogs need to stay in our yard. Our dogs need to know a few commands, and not a lot, but we want a dog that's going to be able to learn to sit and stay and come when they're called. So it's more behavior training, and we don't really expect the more advanced things like agility training or hunting training or any of that stuff. But if that's something that you want, then you're going to need to make your selection based off the trainability that you're looking for in a pet as well. And then finally, and the thing that I want to leave you with today, because it's the thing that I find to be the most important, the thing that I preach most often to potential pet owners, and the thing that I think we need to do as a community of pet owners and people in the pet industry, I think we really need to work on educating potential pet parents about the cost of a dog and how important it is to pick a dog that you can – will also fit your budget and, you know, your income. So obviously there are some things. I know some people, as soon as I say this, they start talking to me about how, you know, dogs are unpredictable. You never know when certain emergency vet visits or things like that are going to come up. And that's true. However, there's still a way to pick a dog that's going to meet your budget. We've discussed grooming costs. I mentioned feeding costs. Smaller dogs cost less to feed. There are dogs where, again, if you want a dog that's going to be very trainable, maybe you want to train for agility or train for hunting, that stuff's not free. It costs money. It takes time. You need materials, even if you can do the training yourself. But odds are, if you're going to do any extensive training, you're probably going to work with a professional. The grooming costs, I think I actually just mentioned that, but those hours that your dog's going to be alone, are you hiring a dog walker, a pet sitter, are you bringing your dog to doggy daycare? Those are expenses that you can think about before you bring your dog home. And some people say with food you don't know. Well, you do know. If you're going to be getting a small breed, think about the food that you want to feed. Now, you should be feeding the highest quality diet that you can afford. And, you know, that $5 bag of store brand dog food at your local convenience store is full of fillers, artificial ingredients, junk that your dog doesn't need, and it carries little to no nutritional value. So you want to be looking at the food that you want to feed. And say you want to be feeding your dog a higher quality dry kibble that's costing you $30 a bag. Think about the breed that you want. Go into a store. It will take you 5 minutes. Walk into the pet food section. Look at the bag of food that you want. Look at the feeding requirements. If you want, say, a beagle or Molly, she's going to weigh about 20 pounds when she's fully grown. So, okay, for a 20-pound dog, this is how much I'm feeding twice a day. This is how much is in a bag. This is how long this bag is going to last. And you can figure it out. You don't need an exact figure, but you want to get a ballpark of how much is this dog going to cost you for the things that you know you're going to need, those grooming expenses, the daycare expenses. Think about the supplies that you're going to need and that you'd need for any dog, bowls, food, treats, leash, collar, harness, that kind of stuff that any dog would need. Now, that you can get a ballpark of what you're going to need maybe per month or for example, the first month is going to be very expensive because you're going to be buying the supplies that your dog needs that you don't have to buy all the time, like bowls, leashes, that kind of thing. So that first month might be a little expensive. So you want to figure that out and then figure out how much is it going to cost you to take care of this dog on average every month. And then you also want to think about the things that you know, you don't know right offhand. Some vet expenses you can factor into that given cost, I guess we can call it, of how much you know it's going to cost you. Things like your yearly checkup, rabies shots, things like that you can factor in. But you are going to have some expenses pop up when your dog gets sick, when he breaks a leg, there's an emergency vet visit, something like that, where you also want to have enough money set aside in a savings account or be able to squirrel away $50 a month or whatever it is for those expenses that pop up that you don't know about. I will give you an example. This, thank goodness, did not happen to us, but it did happen to one of my mother's labs. She has a black lab who, as a puppy, ate a tube sock. And she actually swallowed that tube sock whole. When the vet removed it, there was a little bit of chew marks on one end, but she swallowed this tube sock whole and it plugged up her intestines. And they had to go in for an emergency surgery and have this tube sock cut out of her intestines. So that's something that no matter which way you look at adopting a dog, that's probably not something that you're going to ever think will need to be done. And there are other things that may come up. Your dog might have a genetic disease, which hopefully if you're adopting from a responsible breeder, you already know that. But if you adopt an adult dog from a shelter, it could be an adult onset disease. It could be something that, you know, like cancer that just comes up as your dog's older. And you want to make sure that you have the money to help your dog in whatever way is best at that time for whatever treatment that dog needs. You want to make sure that you can give them the care that they deserve. So I would say financial needs to be the number one thing, because honestly, to just put it very frankly for you, your financial situation is going to make or break whether you actually are ready to get a dog right now or whether you're not. If you cannot afford a dog, do not even think about it. Make that your long-term goal. Start squirreling some money away. Put it in a special savings account or a shoebox in the closet or whatever you want to do, and start saving up your money for a dog. But those initial expenses, you know, some people think, well, I can come up with the $600 or $800 or whatever dollars it might be to adopt this, to buy this puppy, or the $300 it's going to cost to adopt this dog from a shelter, you know, and I can afford to feed it. And they don't think about the long term, those unexpected expenses that are going to pop up, how much it's going to cost to feed this dog every month, how much it's going to cost to buy the supplies that the dog needs, the flea and tick treatments, the, you know, regular veterinary care, that kind of stuff. So really think about that. And the money that it's going to cost you, because that's going to make or break it. If you think that you're in a financial position to adopt a dog, then you need to start thinking about adopting a dog that's going to fit your lifestyle and which breed would be best, or which type of dog, which personality. If you adopt a mixed breed adult dog from a shelter, maybe you're looking for a certain personality, and the shelter can help you with that because they've had experience with this dog and they can tell you that he's high energy, low energy. He loves to be around people. He kind of does his own thing a lot. He's very intelligent, very easily trainable, things like that. So, you know, work with the shelter or rescue organization. Do some research on your own. Find a breed or find a dog that's going to meet your lifestyle, because in the long run, it's going to make that relationship all the more stronger between you and your dog. It's going to make you happier. Your dog's going to be happier. And down the road, you're not going to get to a point where you realize that this dog just doesn't fit your lifestyle, and then you get into the rehoming issue, or the dog needs to go back to the shelter or a rescue organization. So I hope that information was beneficial to you. I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope that if there's somebody out there that is thinking about adopting a dog or adopting another pet, that this was very beneficial, and or maybe you can pass it on to somebody that you know who might need this information. So I'm going to have show notes posted on our website, which again is theoryofpets.com. Also, again, on theoryofpets.com, ask any questions, please, or leave any comments. There's a comment section. You can leave a comment or ask any questions. There is a place where you can record your question, and maybe I'll use it and air it on a podcast in the future. I will be sure to answer all of those questions, whether I use it on the air or not. I will make sure I get back to you. If I do not have the information to answer your question, I promise you that I will find it and I will answer that for you. So don't hesitate to leave a question or a comment. If you like this podcast, remember to jump on iTunes really quickly, please, for me, and just leave a quick review. It doesn't have to be anything lengthy. Tell people what you think of it and if you enjoyed it. And that's really going to help me grow this podcast to be able to reach as many pet parents and people in the pet industry as possible. It's also going to allow me to bring in more people from different companies throughout the pet industry to talk about their products and the industry itself and what some of the trends are, what what some of the things that we can be doing as pet owners to care for our dogs better and things like that. And on that note, I invite you to come back next week when I will have my podcast is going to feature an interview that I did with the founders of Kairu Dog Food. Kairu is a really interesting company. If you have time between this week and next week, you can jump on their website and check that out. Kairu is C-A-R-U, dog food. And the founders, Adrian and Pamela, talked to me this week about, I just had my phone interview with them yesterday. Wonderful people, gave me some great information that I'm excited to pass along and share with you guys. We talk about everything from the dangers of a lot of the commercial foods that are on the market to what we as pet parents should be looking for and what proper nutrition can do to benefit our dogs. So that's something to look forward to next week. I want to thank you guys for tuning in this week again. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you loved it, jump on iTunes and leave me a review. And of course, come back next week and listen to episode number 3. I will see you guys then, or actually I will talk to you guys then. Thanks guys, enjoy your week, and I will be back later.